welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It's Wednesday, September 17th, 2025. I'm so glad you're with us tonight. You're following this show. As a matter of fact, I'd like to ask you folks a favor, if you don't mind, find us on Rumble, Hagmann Report on Rumble, and give us a follow, okay? Even if that's not your platform of choice, they give us a follow there. It elevates, of course, our numbers, but it also somehow, some way, and I don't get how this works, but the visibility, obviously the visibility increases without you even having to watch. So go figure. I don't know. I'm a dinosaur when it comes to this kind of stuff. I'd push that off to other people. I shouldn't say push it off. Other people, thankfully, are there to handle that. With me tonight to talk about a bunch of stuff is a very tired, very whipped, very beat up Austin Brewer. It's been a while since Austin, since you were on. Your dad came in and shook up the house a little bit.
He does that.
Yeah. Come on board. I'm interested. Oh, man. Come on board, first of all. I'm glad you're there. I know you have
some
stuff.
I'm ready.
There you are. Okay. Now, look, I know you have some stuff to cover. Been covering all kinds of topics, but obviously, you and I have not spoken since the events of last week, right? Really, we haven't spoken since... I don't think the Christian or the Catholic school shooting, and then of course the murder of the young Ukrainian girl on the train, and then of course the horrific assassination of last week. Now, I just want to kind of lead off, kind of tell you where I'm at with that. All right, with the last week's horrific incident. I think, number one, we are all being played, okay? Number two, having seen, and I probably should have initially started off with this, but, you know, when your emotions get the best of you as things happen, but I should start off with this. There are so many theories out there. And so many bad, wrongheaded theories. And again, I'm not trying to disparage anyone out there trying to figure out what happened. But with respect to where the bullet came from, okay, that the one bullet, it would be based on my experience of seeing homicides and seeing shootings, and I mean, it's just, it would be a very difficult thing to even attempt to figure trajectory without seeing the victim's, in general, not the victim's body. The medical examiner, of course, would have to do a very thorough entry, exit wound, using the things they use to determine that. All right. Because I'm pretty well convinced what we saw were the, after a lot of research, what we saw was an exit wound. It would be on Charlie Kirk's left side. As he's facing us, his left side, where the blood travel, that to me is an exit wound. I say that with some degree relative certainty because of just ballistics in general and having seen numerous, both in the coursework as well as in the field, as well as cold case homicide photographs and reading ME reports and stuff. That seems about the only thing that one can determine based on the video. Now, that doesn't even matter, though. I mean, to me, what matters to me, and then I'm going to turn this over to you for your thoughts. What matters to me is this, there's a narrative out there, obviously. And I say we're being played. There is a narrative, but so far the evidence that we have been presented with, it doesn't really stack up to the facts that they would like us to believe. So in this case, I don't trust anything I see. I question everything. And I also, it's sad you have to do that, but to me, I don't think we're ever going to get the honest truth about this. Now,
no.
I don't want to be fatalistic, but I just, because there's a statement, the author of the textbook that's in every homicide course, using every homicide course, of course, is the foundational text. It's called Practical Homicide Investigation Tactics, Procedures, and Forensic Techniques. It's 1,225 pages, at least the fifth edition is. And the author is Vernon Gaberth. Okay. And it's the Bible of homicide investigations, but I digress, I guess. But the one thing he does point out is do it right the first time. You only get one chance. Meaning, look, you spoil or you change or you contaminate evidence, crime scenes, whatever. Good luck with that, because you cannot rebuild the truth no matter how hard you try. So having said all of that, I would prefer looking at the larger or the higher altitude view and say, okay, what the hell is going on here? You know, what's the agenda? How are we being worked? How are we being played? How are we, and who's doing it?
There you go. Yeah.
And that would be the question. Now, from there, you've got reasoned speculation. Now, there are some ballistic experts with acoustics and such that certainly can weigh in, and I would give them quarter, but not necessarily the final word. The final word must come from a pathologist or an ME, and those reports can be changed. Example, the Kennedy assassination. Enough said. So, foundationally, if you want to take it from there, and Austin Brower, by the way, his website is teamhealthmasters.com. There it is right there. The guy knows, like, I'm telling you what, he's multi-talented, but the supplements at teamhealthmasters.com are the best on the planet, in my view. They work. You can tell if you're taking any other supplement. Try these right now. Regardless, try these, and you will not be sorry. But Austin, talk to me, brother. What do you think, man?
My friend. Glad to be on the show again. Glad to be back with everybody. And I'll talk to some supplement stuff, some sales we got later on. This is a pretty important question you asked me right now. And so the thing about it is, you know, on our show, we've talked about a couple different theories and different stuff from shooter's aspect. I think the thing, like, we've taken a step back now, though, and had to come to at least a basics conclusion and kind of worked the way up is, you know, was this a clown show, 22-year-old college hit, or is this actually a professional job? And everything, I think, is leaning into the direction of this was an absolute planned out, extremely well-calculated professional job in order to shut Charlie Kirk up. I don't believe this is some little kid that went to the range a couple times, the Mauser 98, that's dating a tranny fag and decided he's going to get mad at Charlie Kirk and climb up on the roof and snipe him. And then suddenly disassembles the Mauser, puts in his pants, puts in his backpack, runs off so quickly, already has everything laid out, then takes it out in the woods, reassembles it, then runs off. Then you got the question about this private jet that jumped right off the tarmac. I mean, within minutes, basically, of this shooting happening, within just a few minutes of somebody getting there, allegedly, then we watch the radar disappear over Arizona, then reappears again, which is strange because I've been with pilots. I've flown right seat before. You don't just turn, basically, your radar off. You don't turn all of your, as far as your contact points off. That was another strange part. Then you have this weird story about this second guy that got arrested as a decoy, basically, and claiming he did it to be a decoy. Then you have all this other weird theater that they thrown in the mix, and it's kind of like they've thrown mud all over the wall to try to prevent anybody from really figuring out what the overall individuals were. But one thing I think we do know is that Charlie Kirk was an individual who's a man of God. He was well-read. He was extremely respected. He had a massive voice, one of the biggest voices in all media. And he had the ability, he was doing something a lot of individuals weren't in his shoes as far as being such a Christ follower and so compassionate and also too so patient, is that he was going to universities all across the country with some other social media platforms and alt media guys have done. But he was doing it in a manner where he wanted everybody to be there. He wanted people to ask questions. He wanted to listen to him. And he didn't sit there all the time and belittle him and berate him and call him stupid. And some of these other influencers that do this, you know, they sit there and they make fun of the tranny kids that walk up. He actually had real, true backup rebuttals, and almost everything was always backed by the word of God. This is what made him unique from almost everybody else who's going to colleges. So this hardcore left satanic agenda that has been trying to be perpetuated through all the universities was getting backlash. I talked to multiple people from universities that I know that said when he came there, everything changed among a lot of the students. Every time he came to university, people acted different. Every time he came to university, students, in some cases, started talking different directions. They started believing different things. He had such an influential impact on so many kids that were being indoctrinated in this leftist ideology. So you ask the question, why would they want to shut him down? There's also a whole other platform that I've looked at on what's been going on with Israel, wanting to give him more fund to be more supportive of Israel, be more supportive of the Gaza basically right. genocide. And there was, I mean, I've talked to multiple people now that have been able to verify a lot of the stuff that was going on with him in Israel. There's also too, right after this happened, you notice right after this happened, basically, Netanyahu unloads an unbelievable genocide on Palestine, full ground invasion in North Gaza. They're dropping buildings with demolition charges all around. They're not even bombing stuff, they're just dropping buildings. So this entire narrative against, you know, with Israel has now sprung up to a whole nother level where Charlie Kirk was starting to question a lot of it. You know, Putin, who is not, I'm not a giant fan of, he came out the other day and he made a comment. He said, if we did to Ukraine what Israel has done to Gaza and Palestine, even a 10% degree, we would have the United Nations at our front door in Moscow with every country in the entire world descending upon us if we did what they're doing to Ukraine. He said, but they're not. It's a free pass. They keep doing everything they want, whenever they want, however they want, and there's zero repercussions. Everybody realizes now Palestine's a gigantic genocide. It's no longer about wiping out Hamas. Charlie Kirk started to get very vocal about that. Charlie Kirk continued to back everything with Christ. Charlie Kirk was extremely opinionated, but still very, very passionate and very well kept the way he did it. And so I think there's this point in position now where we're realizing that if the deep state and the hard left and these groups that are all involved with the satanic agenda, including the transgender community, and I'm going to say that very clear, the whole concept of transgenderism, once it gets past the aspect of young kids being confused because they've been indoctrinated by school, it turns into pure Satanism. You're right. Trying to say that God was wrong. You're saying that I do not accept what God made me. I'm now going to start doing horrific surgery to my body in order to change it. I'm going to go against the will of what God did. Now, people may disagree or agree with me on that. I don't care. That's exactly what they're doing. The problem is that agenda is now perpetuated into young children, all the way from elementary school to where you're making these kids so sick, so perverted-minded that they're willing to go and have do parts of their hormones change, gender change, you know, mutilation. And so all these things have been on the topic. And so what they're trying to do is now they're trying to cause this division with the transgenders and the conservatives, which for quite understanding, there's a good reason. This position that they're holding is completely against all laws of science. It goes against all laws of God. But they're also doing it now to try to keep the narrative off who really did it. That's the concept that people have to realize. This deep state that's running the country, this Middle Eastern country with the CIA and Mossad and all this other factions that are working, they want to keep people completely confused and fighting another. They don't want to have anybody being able to take a step back and say, listen, I agree with you on this. I agree with you on that. I don't agree with you on this. They don't want to have conversations like Charlie Kirk was having. They want to have violent altercations as soon as someone does not agree with you. That's the way you continue to cause chaos, and out of chaos comes a new world order, is their motto. They don't want people to promote. They don't want people to promote having an actual dialogue, having a concept with one another, going, you know what? You might be right on that. You know what? I can see your view on it. I mean, the current basis of genius is being able to look at two different narratives, two completely opposing narratives, and still being able to understand and argue both. Not that you agree with both of them, but you can can understand them. That is something that the mainstream media, that is something that the CIA, that is something the deep state absolutely cannot allow. They cannot have people go up the middle and understand it. It's got to be right, left, left, right, polarized at all points in time. And the problem is Charlie Kirk was the spearhead for having real, true intellectual debates with one another, and people started to like it. They started to love it. They started to emulate it. They started to do it. They started to respect what he did, even if they didn't like what he said. And that was a serious problem in the media, in that community, because they cannot have that. Everything has to be constantly polarized. You're with us or you're with the terrorist. Everybody remembers George Bush's speech before we invaded Iraq under weapons of mass destruction that Netanyahu told us they had and they didn't exist. We wiped out a million Iraqis. Everybody remembers that. You're with us or you're with the terrorist. Well, what if I'm not a terrorist and what if I don't want to invade Iraq?
Whoa, exactly, whoa, you can't
say that. And so I think that's one of the issues, the basis point that everybody needs to get out this of what the agenda was, who was possibly behind it, and what the entire point of they're trying to do to cause more division, more anger, more violence. And you know, it's funny to me, Doug, you know, there's all of these memorials for him over the last week, right?
Right.
Did you see how many cities were burnt to the ground on fire? You see how many law enforcement officers were hit with Molotov cocktails?
Yeah.
You see how many people got drug out of cars and curb stamped because they may have looked by like the shooter, allegedly? See how many people? Zero. That's how a civilized society acts in a time of pain, in a time of horror and grief. That's how you act. This is not it with what they're trying to promote. And so that's what they want. They want to promote confusion and violence. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Thanks for mentioning that, because, you know, we cannot. This is, again, folks, this is just my investigative viewpoint. OK, my analysis based on almost 40 years in handling investigations, including homicides and cold cases and equivocal death investigations. There's a lot to me. A lot that needs to be pointed out here. And I do believe that, you know, when you are shown, for example, or provided a certain path to follow, and I saw this in clients before, whether they're government clients or corporate clients. When I say government, I'm talking about police agencies. And if you, excuse me, if you have a, if you have a request to like review a file based on your, say, I'm consulting on, for example, the blood spatter analysis, sometimes, not always, the person in charge, the cold case detective or homicide detective, will say, here's what we think happened. And I always, my instructor taught me this. The first instructor I ever had said, never, ever, 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 ever allow anyone to say that to you. Just take it, and then afterwards you can ask what they think after you make a reasoned conclusion. And so on a larger scale, that's what's happening with most Americans today. We're giving a narrative. Here's what we have found or believe happened. And that's always a very dangerous thing to accept, because immediately, because of the authority behind, we'll say, the FBI or the state police or the governor, whoever's talking, they can contaminate not just the crime scene, but your ability to assess without any bias.
So, exactly anyway, right.
So I, in this case, and you mentioned about the how many cities burnt down and such. Isn't that interesting? Because I believe the very same people behind what happened last week are the very same people behind those very riots.
Oh, they were. We know that. We saw that with USID, when they were funding everything with Antifa and they're burning stuff down. And see, and the problem with this is when they martyred Charlie Kirk, they changed the entire narrative for a lot of people. You know, I had a friend of mine, basically, they were talking to me the other day, and she works at a bar. you know, she was telling me about a story that's happened. And she goes, you know, because she's a good Christian. And she said, basically, she started talking to this woman and this couple. And she said the wife admittedly said she's never consistently believed in God. But now she's searching, questioning, to open her eyes. That's what happens when truth is spoken without fear. That's what happens when you refuse to water it down. Even in casual talk, the seeds of faith and conviction can be planted. There's so many people now that after seeing what happened and realizing the direction that our country is going, they're standing up with their conviction. They're standing up boldly. They're speaking their mind about this. We know we're being lied to about the FBI. We know the evidence is being completely fabricated and manipulated in order to try to push their narrative. We know everything they're telling us is a continual fabrication. People don't even care anymore because we know the truth has to be spoken. We're going to talk about what they're doing. We're going to talk about how they're covering it up. We're going to talk about Charlie Kirk said. We're going to continue to be boisterous. What they took to try to shut everybody up, what they did to try to make everybody scared to speak the gospel of Christ, to try to tell everyone you can't speak the truth, you can't go to colleges and talk truth, you can't have rebuttals, you can't have debates. What they did now is they created a firestorm among a gigantic younger population who's going, why did they really kill him? Even if you believe the narrative that some 22-year-old weirdo kid that's dating a tranny kid decided he wanted to go grab a Mauser and get on the roof and shoot Charlie Kirk because he's angry about what he's saying. That shows you, even if you believe that narrative, which I don't, it shows you the level of barbarism and depravity that the left has had seeded into their brain now for years through the mainstream media, that they're really willing to go execute someone on national television in front of their wife and child because they don't like what they say because it offended their tender little feelings. Here's the caring part. Here's the truth. Nobody cares about your feelings in the real world. Get over it. Enough is enough. We've tiptoed and pandered around these clowns for too long in the left, too long with the deep state, too long shutting down things and not being open and vocal. And it's the point now that everybody talks about their convictions, talks about what they believe. And I don't care about anybody's feelings. That's a you problem, not a me problem. You got to figure out how to handle your own individual assessment of your emotions on your own. That's not me to deal with. That's you. And until we can get to that point, which is where we're starting to get now, everybody's going to start realizing Christians, the people that are here, that are trying to filter things through a Christian filter and be nice, because I'm not a nice person. I have to try to be nice. And the only reason I'm nice is because I'm saved through Christ. I have to really try to actively work to be nice. And I do a good job at it now. I do a great job at it. In my younger 20s, in my heathen years, I was not good at it. I was not a good person. And so as I've gotten older now, I've realized there's certain things we have to try to do in order to maintain that relationship and try to be the best we can. The problem with it is everybody's used that as a crutch to say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anybody mad. Right. I want to just don't step on any toes. And the pastors are being the worst about it. They're leading their flock down a black hole that nobody even realizes where they're going because they don't want to tell people to be vocal and stand up. We're not here to sit and, you know, put people down continually, make them feel bad and belittle them. But we are here to stand up for our beliefs, even in the midst of adversity. And that's what I think everybody's starting to do now, Doug. And that's what I encourage everybody to do now.
And you know, you're 100% right. I think the... I don't think that the architects of what happened planned necessarily on this response. I do suspect they figured it would present itself. It would be kind of like a 9/11 moment where, you know, the church pews are filled maybe for a couple of weeks afterwards in terms of action. And then, you know, we'll accept whatever after that. But I think what we saw in part was, and it was being live streamed, and it was, but I think what we saw in part was an attempt at the trauma-based mind or behavioral control of a population. So
absolutely,
because and of course that does factor in the indictment.
Shock value is what it was.
That's right. So yeah. So having said all of that, I think we find ourselves as a nation in a very dangerous position at the moment, and we need to understand that we are in this dangerous position. But the thing that we have to figure out is what in the hell are we going to do about it? Because you know, we can argue all day long about the one shooter, two shooter. Look, it's valid to discuss that, but the real answers exist in the actual evidence, which may or not be shown. And this feels to me a lot like Butler. Okay. Very much like Butler. But again, I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to turn, I'm going to turn to you because I know that we have a limited time with you, and I'll be showing a couple of exhibits after, after you leave. So I'm just going to turn it back to you and say, okay, from there, what, you know, what else should we be paying attention to right now? That we haven't been, and anything else you want to address? Go ahead.
Well, I think, and the thing about it is, I think everybody's realized too, because, you know, I talked about it in detail on the show the other day, and it was going over the fact that, you know, okay, the day Charlie Kirk was executed, the Senate blocked releasing the fully unredacted Epstein files 3 hours after he was shot, exactly, to be exact, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Senate said, well, no, we're refusing. We're not going to vote on it. We're voting against it. Okay, then you have the amendment to ban Pentagon for boycotting Israel. That was interesting. It was right after the same day. Then you went and had proposal of the bill for Rubio, Mark Rubio, Bubble Boy Rubio, that queer boy. He decided he was going to propose a bill that can revoke passports of American citizens if you criticize Israel. It's all documented. You can look this up. The House approved another $650 million for Israel's missile defense. This also happened right after Charlie Kirk got killed, and a whole host of other things that they tried to cover up in the media and not discuss. There's just a few of the tidbits. You can look them up.
Right,
so
right.
Again, what a lot of people are realizing, again, nothing's coincidence. Nothing happens by chance. That was shock value to scare the entire population into shutting up and not talking about what they truly believe. The problem is it backfired on them, just like it always does when the devil tries to play his hand and overplay it. It backfired because they martyred Charlie Kirk, and now a good, large portion of the United States population is calling it out for who did it, why it happened, and what we're going to do to stand up for it, continue to get vocal. So that's my stance on that opening aspect of it. But yeah, okay. So, yeah.
No, look, all of those are valid points. And I think, are they factors in what happened? Yeah, I think some of them are. Using the cover, the absolute horror of what happened to cover the events, as well as perhaps some motivation, there goes the motive perhaps in certain aspects of what you referenced, but beyond that, okay. Yeah, I get that. And by the way, folks, there's no anti-Semitism here. Okay. We're talking about,
I'm talking about facts that are documented.
Facts. Yeah. And look, we're not saying the Jews no. Just like Americans are not, you know, the elite that we have nothing in common with, globalists, I should say, the CIA, military industrial pharmaceutical complex, well, whatever. We're talking about a very specific group of people in power. This is not an indictment of the Jewish faith.
No, people. Not at all. The thing about this is, right before October 7, 2023, a vast majority of the Israeli population was protesting Netanyahu because he was acting like a dictator. There was hundreds of thousands of citizens, Israeli citizens in the street protesting Netanyahu because they didn't like what he was doing. He made himself a de facto dictator, basically changed the judges, presented himself as the emperor of Israel, and decided he was going to do anything he wanted because they were rioting so much and they were basically protesting for good reason of what he was doing. Shortly after that, alleged Hamas attack on October 6th, that he's continued to push the agenda as the dictator. Now, nobody talks about him in power. And again, the vast majority of individuals I've talked to that are actually truly Jewish, that follow basically the Torah, the five first books of the Levitical law, actually follow the Bible, not the Talmud. They don't want to be involved in any of this. They hate it. The problem is a lot of that area over there has been hijacked by these individuals that they're Satanists. They follow their father, the Lucifer. Jesus talks about it in John chapter 8. And so, no, I'm not presenting any type of anti-Semitism here.
Right.
I'm bringing facts, and I'm talking about a very corrupt cell of Israel that's continually pushing this agenda. The vast majority of the people over there are really good people, just like the United States population. The vast majority of us here are awesome, and we're badass. America's the best country in the entire world. In fact, we don't agree with half the crap Senate Congress does, probably 90% of it. They completely do everything against our will. They pass bills we don't want. They put taxes we don't need. They continue to screw everybody over, even though we don't want it. We don't consent. It's horrific. This is what happens, though, when a republic starts to fall. It's a government by the people, for the people. That's what our constitutional republic is. And we're starting to fall far away from that.
So, again, exactly.
It is. We're far away from that.
One of the things that happened today, and again, I'm gonna back off and let you take it. One of the things that happened today that I was not really surprised over, but it really didn't get a lot of traction. Ilhan Omar, did you happen to see this?
I did not see that today, and I've been gone all day.
All right, yeah, folks, Austin's been traveling, so I'm gonna give him kind of a light.
Give me a pass tonight on that one.
I have to say this. So she, based on her actions, now, of course, Ilhan Omar, you know, of course, that she's from Somalia. She's a member of the House of Representatives. She's probably one of the most in my view, her actions are very treasonous, and her allegiance does not exist. She's not serving the U.S. or our interests. But anyway, there was a vote within the House to strip her of her committee assignments, including the House Intelligence Committee. Now, think about this. Somebody who's, I mean, she's allied with the Islamic terrorists. The vote came out, all Democrats, obviously, all the left that were present, I think 200 some people, the Democrats, voted to allow her to keep her House or keep her committee assignments. All but four of the Republicans said no. But the vote ended up to be 214 to 213. She was allowed to keep her assignments. And here we are today. Four of the so-called Republicans, including at least one, if not two from your state, said, yeah, let her keep the assignment. Okay. So here we are. It is that, it's to me that speaks volumes as to where we are at today. This is not Republican versus Democrat, no longer. This is not the left versus right, because this is the sold out compromise pieces of crap versus the evil ones versus everything that's good that we once represented that's good and faithful. That's good versus evil. Yeah.
It's good versus evil, man.
There it is. But it really pissed me off to see that. Go ahead, sir, and take it, because if I continue on this, I'm going to break like my microphone or something. Go on.
It's good versus evil. It breaks down to is that. It's light versus darkness. That's where we've reached this point now in this country. And you have to decide what side you're going to be on. There's no fence riding anymore in this country. We reached a pivotal point last week. There's no more this, oh, well, I'm on this, I'm on that. No, you pick this day that you serve. Figure out
could you feel that though? You could feel the difference, right? In your gut, in your brain, everybody, in your heart, everywhere.
Everybody's changed. You know, because we're sitting here going, you want to play this game? You want to play this hardcore leftist, perverted, communist, Marxist ideology game? You want to keep pushing this? And now you're going to say, if you don't like what we say, you have a right to execute us. Well, you're playing a dangerous game with a lot of people that are a lot more effective than these clowns are. And the thing is, even the deep state and all the crap they're involved in, all the people that work on their payroll and all the sickos and hitters and stuff they have, it doesn't come close to how many armed Christians are in this country. Not even a smidgen. So they want to play this game with us. We can play this game, but I prefer it doesn't go there. I prefer they back down, they calm down, they start bringing us back to a constitutional republic under Christ and realize this is not what we're going to allow anymore. And there's a lot of people that are starting on the same page with this. And so again, comes down to the easiest thing for the average person, it comes down to is, are you going to be vocal? Are you going to sit there and proclaim what you believe, even in front of adversity when people don't agree with you? It's easy to be around four or five people, you know, and you're all on the same page. You all agree on the same things. Great. Bounce around ideas, have good stuff. You get around four or five people and you're only one, and they start talking about what they don't like about you or they don't like about what you believe. What do you stand firm? You sit there and compromise, you cower down, you act like a little, you know, little baby boy, or you sit there and actually stand up and say, no, I believe this. Let's have a real rebuttal. Let's have a debate. Let's have a reasonable conversation without everybody screaming and yelling and getting on their knees and yelling at the top of their lungs with a megaphone like these freaking clowns do at some of these rallies. It doesn't make sense to me. Like this purple green hair, this big megaphone, they're just screaming. Nothing actual audible to say, just screaming. And I'm like, is that really where you guys have stooped down to? That's how you guys are going to get your point across? Like, okay, this is it, man. And so I think a lot of us have tolerated that for too long. But I was switching gears. There's a health topic that I wanted to go. This is a positive topic here now that came out. I wanted to address this. I addressed it on an earlier show, kind of making something a little bit lighter here. There's another study going into nitric oxide. And that said, they're saying now that's the single most important factor affecting cardiovascular health. So, you know, Team Health Masters, we try to produce the highest quality supplements. You want to keep your heart healthy, especially how stressed out and how aggressive everybody's been lately. I don't know about you guys, but I've been on the non-tolerant road for the last week. I don't really put up with anything anymore. My fuse is about a quarter of an inch. I'm trying to keep my heart healthy with all the purple sticks that I take, and I'm doing a doggone good job of it. But again, you got to keep it maintained. And one of the products we have is the HGH Stimulate, which is a nitric oxide precursor, helps increase nitric oxide. And the topic up here, they discuss it in the article. It says one of the important signaling molecules in your body involved in virtually every organ system. Some researchers say that there's very clear progression of cardiovascular disease that begins with decreased NO production. The lack of NO production can lead to high blood pressure, sexual dysfunction, chronic inflammatory vascular disease, leading to heart attack, stroke, and heart failure. Now, I had about 200 of these. It got big old dents in them. I talked about them earlier this morning on this show, and I sent an email out. There's a coupon, basically, that is on there that you can click and add one can only. The coupon code SCRATCH on the page is 35% off these cans. I think I got like maybe 100 left after the day when I put it out there. And so you put that code, S-C-R-A-T-H-C, it's on the link for it. And you put that in the coupon code, scratch and dent. When it says it's out of stock, it's out of stock. I can't change. That means we're running out of inventory. But that is for the best, probably one of the best single-handed nitric oxide formulas that we've ever produced. Works really good pre-workout, pump, forever, all kinds of other needs, maintaining healthy cardiovascular health. I'm trying not to talk so fast. I have too many purple sticks today. And I'll slow down for everybody.
I can just say this. to just to verify what you said, you can put me under, Austin. I mean, keep that up there because that is what I was going to comment on. That was one product that was highly recommended for cardiovascular health, the nitric oxide. In fact, that particular product, when I showed the doctor the ingredients and what would you call it, dosage? I don't want to use the wrong term, but anyway, said that's probably one of the he said to me that's probably one of the best products I've seen that does what it should do, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's fantastic. It's a fantastic product. Go ahead, sir.
And absolutely. And that's why we use it. We recommend it. And it's so effective. And we continue to encourage people to try it. So if you haven't tried it before, the cans are, as far as they're perfectly sealed, there's nothing compromised about the formula. A lot of the cans just have a big dent, one or two dents in them. Doesn't affect anything. Lids are all the same, but we can't sell them at retail. I can't send them back. The guy, it was a mess. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fire sale the stuff, let everybody try it, enjoy it, see the effects they get on it. And if they want to try it again, awesome. Also leave a review on the regular page if you decide to do so. So that was a big topic that I wanted to get out there. And also the article on cardiovascular health with NO, it's on the website. And I thank you guys again for the emails that I'm getting. I thank you guys for supporting Hagmann Show. I really do. Thank you for supporting Team Health Masters. We can't do this fight without you. We need teams. We need fire teams. We got to have groups that are getting out there, forwarding the shows, putting reviews, putting comments, pushing these articles, pushing these episodes that we put out. So more and more people can be encouraged to speak the truth. So I thank you guys for the support of us, for Doug. We couldn't do it without you. It's impossible. This is what we're all in this together. So when you support his show, you support our site, it gives us the ability to run these production shows all the time, day and night, constantly, and gives us the ability to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and get the truth out there further. So I thank a lot of y'all for that, because I got a lot of customers from your show, Doug, that email me. They heard us on the show, and they say they support us and they support you. Thank you guys for that. We need it right now, because there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline, in my opinion. I don't think this Charlie Kirk incident, as much as I want to say it, is going to be a single isolated event. I think this is going to start happening, in my opinion, on more platforms and more scales of individuals. I'm not speaking death. I'm not speaking any of that. I speak life over everyone. But if you can kind of tell right now, the inability for them to control the narrative of what's happening is becoming a very basically thorn in their side of the mainstream media and the deep state and the CIA. They don't like you when people question everything. Look at what happened with the Epstein files when they released them. It was a total joke. Now they've said again, Patel came out, there's nothing. Nobody was trafficked to nobody. We don't even know why Giselle's in prison for 20 years, essentially, is basically what he implied. You know, when this starts happening and they start scrambling to come up with a bogus narrative to try to keep people complacent, you know you're hitting a nerve. You know you're pushing in a direction that they don't want you to talk about when they constantly start saying everything's fake news and it's a lie, nothing to see here. This is the hoax. So again, you're probably going to see that over the next couple weeks with this shooting. Is they're going to try to push their specific narrative, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, the real thing that matters is that everyone continues to get more vocal and speak your voice and pick up his microphone where he left off. And I encourage all you guys to do that. So the best way to do that, stay strong and healthy. Run your purple sticks, run your B complex, run your multiple powder, stay healthy and strong 24/7. The more energy you have, the more cognitive functioning you have, the more ability to understand and have better reasoning skills, the more effective you can speak your mind and you can talk about what you believe and you can have proper rebuttals. That's a fact, Doug. That's why I encourage everybody to do so.
In fact, folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com and definitely take advantage of everything they have because it does help us. It keeps everyone, I guess, at least in this room, I guess, able to continue doing what we do. But it benefits all of us because the health benefits, and I mean that, there's a difference now. And even the doctors I deal with currently are saying, you know what, you need to supplement your diet. You need these certain supplements. And one is very, very specific as to what is needed and very comfortable, by the way, with the products at healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com. And also, folks, make sure you listen to Ted Nossenbauer, their show, every morning, of course. And it's Ted Nossenbauer Show. The link will be in our program description box directly to their show, either live or by way of archive. And it's always an informational download. I'm very, very proud. Sometimes I steal stuff from them and not give them credit because I'm like that. I'm kidding. But the bottom line is they've got a very, very informative show. So all of that said, and by the way, after I will mention this once now and then after you've got to go. I just want to tell you, and I'll get into more detail on this, but the one thing that we do to the best of our ability is to monitor the web. I'm not going to get specific with the different forums, but monitor conversations about revolution type events that are being planned. Okay, now we had no foreknowledge of last week's events. However, there were certain things leading up to, for example, Butler and then after Butler that were very telling. I'm just going to say this to what you said, Austin. We are tracking, look, within the next, I don't know, 15 to 30 days, I do suspect that there are certain individuals and groups and some that have can be traced to, I'm going to say intelligence groups that are planning another traumatic event. But it's very, look, if I knew exactly what they were planning and who the target was, I would let everyone know right now. The problem is a lot of that is sketchy, but I can just say this in the next 15 to 30 days. And that's just it could be sooner. It could be later, but in that time frame, there will be an event very similar to what happened last week again. Okay. I'm going to shut up now. Go ahead and continue, sir, with wherever you want to go.
Well, that's what I've told everybody. A lot of people, you know, not mainstream media, alt media, actually conservatives, they're real truth tellers, is, you know, make sure you're keeping different aspects of security at top notch. Whatever you have, whatever it is, I'm not telling you what to do with your life, not telling you to do security, but make sure you're keeping things active. Whatever you need, make sure they're staying hot, make sure they're staying prepared, make sure their cameras are working good. Whatever security you need, all the platforms I've talked to everybody, I said, just keep them tight. I said, because this whole situation that happened with this tranny shooting up this, you know, Catholic school, that that wasn't coincidence right before this. It wasn't coincidence of doing this again. They're constantly doing things to see what they can get and the shock value they can get and see if they can get copycats, see if they can get people desensitized to it. This is that one event, though. The problem is they took out the nice guy in the group that was really well-versed and really educated and had a massive following from almost everybody. Like I said, he's making huge change to college universities. They martyred him. It was a huge mistake. And so, again, this is the time now more than ever to get more vocal about the topic. Now, that being said, being vocal about health topics has been paying off lately, especially with RFK Jr. Tyson Foods, which I'm not a big fan or proponent of Tyson Foods. Let me clarify that. However, Tyson Foods now said they are phasing out all high fructose corn syrup of all products by end of 25, along with several other additives. The meatpacking giant, one of the biggest in the entire country, said they'll be phasing out sucralose as well. It's artificial sweetener. It's a chlorocarbon. It's horrific. It's like Splenda, same name, brand name, sucralose. They're also going to be pulling out BHA and BHT, titanium dioxide, and all food coloring by the end of the year. The decision was voluntary and follows Tyson's earlier efforts to basically remove a lot of these food additives. And so, again, this is one of those things that I'm glad they're doing it. I know why they're doing it, because they're trying to save face as far as with the MAHA group, the Make America Healthy Again, and RFK Jr. has been talking about it. The thing is, when you call these people out, you call these food additives out, and you ask them a question, this is a big question that will really get people's attention span maybe starting to get a little bit wider. Why is it majority of these companies, the food we sell in the food we sell in Europe is vastly different from the exact same food brand name that we sell in the United States? Why is it you can have Fruit Loops, so to speak, in the United States, and they're loaded with food coloring, loaded with BHT, loaded with high fructose corn syrup, loaded with all types of additives, every food coloring on demand? You go to Germany or Europe, Fruit Loops, they have beet juice powder for, you know, coloring. They have carrot extract. They have no BHT. They have actual cane sugar. They don't have all these preservatives in the food. Kellogg's is making the same product. They're making it in different manufacturing sites with different ingredients with the same name. That makes zero sense whatsoever. The only reason you want to put these ingredients in these products is to make them more deadly, unhealthy, and addictive. There is no singular point to have this in these products at all. Europe's banned them. They still got the product. Still sells great. People love it. They sell in the United States. They will not pull the ingredients out because they know how detrimental and harmful it is. So Tyson's basically pulling rank and saying, listen, we don't want to be on that train that everybody's going, why aren't they removing food coloring? Why aren't they removing high fructose corn syrup? We know it's linked to neurological problems. We know it's been linked to ADHD in children. We know it's been linked to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease with high fructose corn syrup. And the list goes down the line. We know all these things are directly linked to it. Yeah, we're still putting it in the food to what? Save a couple cents per package? Really? That's really the argument you're going to go with? No. So again, this goes back down to everybody being vocal, everybody talking about it, vote with your dollar. Don't support companies that want to harm you. That's a really easy concept that eludes a large percentage of the population. Don't give money to a company that's actively trying to harm you with their ingredients. Really easy concept to grasp. If you want to make a difference, don't give them their money. Vote with your dollar. I've said this before in numerous companies. If a company is diametrically opposed to your beliefs, if they will not listen to your statements, if they want nothing to do with you, for example, Starbucks, diametrically opposed to the Second Amendment. If you carry a firearm, we don't want your business. Flat out. Oh, and by the way, all of our employees that donate money to abortion clinics and Planned Parenthood, we're going to match their money as well. And the list goes on and on with Starbucks. I could go all day with them. Why in the world do you have Christian churches that have Starbucks inside of their churches when you know they're diametrically opposed to Christianity and the Second Amendment? $1 million question. Nobody's been able to answer me. So again, it goes back down to it. Be vocal, stand up, get educated, vote with your dollar, and continue to encourage everybody else to do the same. And that's why we try to produce the highest quality supplements. I don't hide behind proprietary blends. I don't hide behind some short little name. I put down the whole breakdown, all my ingredients on everything, on every product. So you know you're getting full clarity, full transparency, and getting the ingredients you need at clinical relevant dosages to make a difference in your health so you can stand firm and continue the fight up. So again, for that, I appreciate your support and continue to keep up the fight, all my friends, and keep calling out a lot of these food industries and make them change with your dollar. That's my personal take.
And about the Starbucks, I was amazed at the last church that I went to in the lobby had a Starbucks
stand. There you go.
Okay. And I did ask the pastor there, Why? But why? Out of all potential, I mean, how about the local coffee shop?
There you go. Exactly. How about a local coffee store?
Right.
Local coffee shop.
Well, the answer was convenience. It's always about convenience over everything else. And it was a little difficult because of the resistance by the pastor. And by the way, the pastor was not in charge of it. This person's in charge of it. It doesn't matter. You do not invite the devil, the demonic, whatever is antithetical into your house. And you just don't do that. It's just not the right thing to do. Go ahead, sir. Continue. Go
ahead. Matthew 7:14 says, small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. I didn't read anything there about convenient. Didn't say the road's conveniently well paved. It says the gate is narrow and small, and the road is narrow that leads to life. The small the gate and narrow the road. There's no convenience there. So question yourself, are you want to do this because it's convenient, it's going to save you 5 minutes, or it's going to save you $1 because you got a coupon, or you want to support somebody that actually supports you and supports your beliefs? It's your opinion. Bro. Decide what you want to do on it, man.
Amen. Amen. What else you got, my friend?
There's another article here. I got a plethora of health articles for you. Let me pull another one up here that I was going through earlier. This one is going into detail. If you guys saw today, this is interesting. Former CDC officials now take aim at RFK during the Senate hearing. I had some people send me some snippets that the Senate hearing was meant to probe the sudden departure of the top CDC officials that shifted now. The entire thing was a giant setup, so to speak, to accuse U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy that he's a danger to the public. They wanted to bring in Susan Meraz, who's terminated from the CDC, for inability to understand how dangerous some of these vaccines are, would not address it. The U.S. Senate hearing today began into investigation and a firing of the CDC director. The problem was she started off, just full setup, Susan Meraz, she goes, today should not be about me. Today should be about the future of trust in public health. She testified that she was fired for holding the line of scientific integrity. Trust and transparency have been broken.
I wanted to just kind of smack her upside the head. Did you see her demeanor?
I saw some of the highlight reels on this, some of the snippets of it. Some people sent it to me while I was driving. And I was sitting, and she just nauseates me. Just looking at her nauseates me. She's one of those ones, she always has to have a rebuttal that's not relevant. This isn't about me today. This is about the safety of everyone. Let's not address anything I have done. The CDC's not safe anymore. Why is it? Because of this man right here, RFK Jr. Like, okay, like, let's actually address the facts at hand and why you're here. Oh, no, not today. Not today. Like, dude, shut up. Shut up.
You know, I remember I shouldn't say remember, but I watched some of the archived hearings of the 50s and the 60s. I mean, the contempt even back then, people showed contempt. However, there was a huge difference in the contempt because people did not like that at that time and didn't put up with it at that time.
No.
However, today, hey, no problem. You know, but continue, sir. Go ahead.
Well, no, what was crazy about it is if you look at a lot of the stuff that they constantly say from the vaccines that they push, and they sit there and try to play this twist game about, well, it was safe and effective and it did this and this and this and this and this. And you look at it and you go, okay, why in the world do you have millions of adverse events that have occurred from the COVID vaccine after they told everybody it was safe and effective? She comes out and say, vaccines are not controversial because they're safe and they work. That's what she said. Well, please explain the VAERS. Vaccine adverse effect reporting system. You got millions of people that have been introduced to that system because they had serious debilitating side effects after the COVID shot. Oh, no, they're safe and effective. Says who? You and Pfizer? Nobody's back in this bull anymore. And so, again, I think that, again, the American population is doing their own research and going, why do we need a 15th vaccine for the COVID shot? Why are we being told to give 6-month-olds a vaccine injection that's RNA gene therapy, causes you to produce spike proteins? Why are we giving that to you? Oh, it's because they're safe and effective. If people say that to me one more time, I'm just going to walk away from, like, safe and effective based on your opinion of what? Oh, because Fauci said so. Fauci said a lot of stuff that wasn't true and continuing just about everything that came out of his mouth. Why don't we look at the adverse events, the actual documented data of side effects that have occurred from the shot on bears, and you have a completely different view. So I thought that was interesting. I think they're going to try to set RFK Jr. up, try to figure out an excuse to basically either and put him in an investigation, do something. He can hold his own pretty good, but they do not like what he's doing. As soon as he touched on these vaccines, as soon as he started to talk about pulling the Hep B shot off infants, which makes no sense at all, as soon as he started talking about reducing the aspect of people being able to get a COVID-19 vaccine, all hell is broken loose with the CDC and the Pfizer and basically vaccine manufacturer companies. I mean, they've descended on him like a bunch of cockroaches. They want him out of there because you're talking about probably billions and billions of dollars in net profit in aggregate. You start pulling these shots off the schedule and don't have them readily available. Because remember, all this stuff is usually government-funded grants and money. They get money from the federal government. We paid money to research the COVID vaccine. Then we paid money to manufacture it to Pfizer and Moderna. Then we paid money to try to force everyone to get the shot, all with our taxpayer dollars each time. When you understand that concept, was it really about safety? Was it really about keeping people protected? Or was it about more money laundering from the federal government and getting people unbelievably sick and into taking something they didn't want to take? It's my stance on it, Doug. I don't know about yours.
I love
it. Actually, I do know your stance on it. We talked
about it. Yeah, I'm 100% behind you. And I look, there's a huge money effort. And part of that effort, it's not a Republican Democrat thing. Obviously, most of the Democrats, and think about that. It hurts your brain to think about the flip by the left. But anyway, again, not separated by political affiliation, but by monetary, lining the pockets and by compromise. There's a huge, well-funded effort to take down RFK by any means necessary. Folks, please understand that. And if that's the case, I mean, RFK Jr. is as effective in the our physical health arena as Charlie Kirk was in the universities and other campuses. Okay, I'm telling you right now, and they're very dangerous. He's very dangerous, and he's a target, a big target. Go ahead, sir.
That's exactly what happened. They don't want what he was saying. He's a huge target. I mean, he has made monumental strides in that position compared to any other predecessor. What he's done with vaccines questioning, what he's done with the high fructose corn syrup, what he's done with the processed foods, what he's done with the food coloring. He's been instrumental because he's in a position basically of authority now. He's coming out saying, I'm telling you guys to ask questions. I'm asking you why this stuff's in the food, why it's been in here for decades. Why in the world is the country getting sicker every year? Why is diabetes, heart disease, and all chronic diseases continuing to go up exponentially every single year? Why is autism going through the roof every single year? Clearly, if we're doing the best for the country and the nation, we wouldn't keep doing the same thing, causing the same problem. That's called the definition of insanity. Do the same thing and expect a different result over and over and over again. It's because they want to do it. It's their goal to do it. It's their agenda to do it. On the backside, it produces the largest amount of money. The more preservatives, the more compounds you put in the food supply, the sicker people get. The sicker people get, they go to the hospital. The hospital rates go up. The more people that stay in the hospital and have chronic diseases, you treat them with more drugs. You treat them with more drugs, they go back to the hospital for more drugs. And it's a perpetuating cycle that continues to feed the military, the health industrial complex. The military industrial complex, they're just out of control. They've been out of control. There's not much I can do with that one.
Well, I'll tell you what.
At least the food supply, we make a difference.
and you know, I think we all are, folks. Your voice matters, in especially what you can change. I mean that this is something that I think everyone can relate to, the quality of food, what's in it, and we can actually enact a change through our actions and efforts, various ways we can do that, but it's not that complicated. So be at least active there, and I think, hey, when you take a look at photographs around a pool in Vegas from, 1975 versus today, what do you see? Wow, what a difference in terms of
go look up. Yeah, go look up Daytona Beach down here in Florida. Back, I think it's like the 50s or 60s, and they currently look at one today. If people even go to the beach half the time anymore, they're too fat to waddle down there. They need a scooter. It's embarrassing. But you look at the population of the 50s, 60s.
Yeah, I mean, I I spent spring break. It's 1970s or something in Daytona Beach.
Daytona's wild. It's a great place. You still drive trucks on the beach. We used to throw huge shows down there. Not anymore. They banned all that. But it was good. What one last bubble gum for the brain for the night here. This is a pretty funny one. I don't know if this is a stunt to try to get publicity onto him or if this is actually an individual chairman, FCC members, FCC chairman, who's actually sick of what's going on. Because, you know, there's been like 8 or 10 different companies now who have terminated employees for putting up these unbelievably sadistic videos of them joking and jumping and getting excited and shooting party poppers off after Charlie Kirk died and making big jokes about his assassination and social media. And the employees, bam, 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 you're terminated, which good riddance. It doesn't, I don't, Charlie Kirk or anybody else, you start acting excited and you start proclaiming and praising somebody being executed on national television, you will not be my employee. I have every right to terminate you based on your behavior in public. And so, again, this is something that's happened a lot. Well, Jimmy Kimmel now is apparently suspended indefinitely after pushing Charlie Kirk propaganda, basically questioning basically everything Charlie Kirk said, calling him names. And on top of that, said the MAGA gang desperately tried to categorize the kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them. It went on to say essentially that the shooter's a MAGA and they set the whole thing up to basically blame it on transgenders and the shooter's actually a MAGA supporter. And FCC came out and said they're threatening immediate action against Jimmy Kimmel, ABC and Disney for deliberately misleading the public by claiming Charlie Kirk's assassination was a MAGA conservative. Again, this is more bread and circus for the masses. Look what my hand's doing over here when he was over. I've never cared for him. He's way too just left for me. But at the end of the day, when you start going in on national television and questioning things, making fun of stuff, joking about somebody's death in front of everyone, the company's really got to decide whether or not that's really who they want. Is their spokesperson or their comedian or whoever representing them at that time. And because far too many times now, Doug, we've seen the left get away with barbaric jokes and photos. I remember that one loser comedian, the one's washed up now, the red hair, that female, and she did that doggone photo shoot with Kathy a severed Griffin. Head of Donald Trump dripping blood. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Kathy Griffin. Yeah.
That piece of crap. And you've seen all kinds of stunts like this. And it's like, you know, if you had a Christian right-wing conservative, you know, cut off a fake Obama head and post on national television and get it on all these platforms. When he was president, you probably had the FBI up your ass the next morning. Let's be honest. They probably asked investigator, we need to take you in. We asked you some questions, bud. Why are you cutting off Obama's head depicted? You severed it, decapitated it, and put it all over social media. Like, it was a joke. It wasn't a joke to us. But too far, the left has gotten away with this stuff. And so, again, it's that time when we start saying, not in a violent manner, but in a righteous manner, pushing back and saying, we're not going to go along with this agenda. We're not going to go quietly into the night. Even Jesus Christ himself, perfect man of God, the Messiah, got so fed up with the bankers manipulating and converting these currencies in their favor and having unjust scales and changing everything that people were trying to do. He went in and braided a whip and flipped the tables and kicked them out. He said he turned the temple into a den of thieves, a brood of vipers, and ripped them out. So again, you reach a point where you got to say, okay, we can't just sit and be quiet. We got to be vocal. We got to talk for it. So that's my base point on the show today. If you want to keep your cardiovascular system strong, run the HGH Stimulator. Got on sale for you guys, a scratch and dent, and continue to keep the fight up, my friends. I appreciate y'all.
Man, I really appreciate it. Look, I know you're like running on empty, so I know that you have to bolt. I really appreciate your time, your insight, everything we talked about. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for your insight, and thank you for what you do. And folks, take your health seriously. Believe me, take your health seriously. I can't stress that enough.
If for real, take it seriously. It's not a joke anymore. We're all in this fight, and the only way you can make a difference is you've got to be mentally acute and full of energy. I've been sick. Everybody's been sick. You get the flu, sick for a couple of days, running vitamin C, D3, zinc, kick it back in 3 or 4 days. But for those couple of days, if that's how you continue to feel on a regular basis because you're so sick or close to it because your diet's so piss poor, you got to ask yourself, is this the way I want it to be? Is this God's perfect will for me to be sick on the couch, eating Doritos, chugging down diet soda, watching Netflix all day, being a lazy bum? Is that the best I could possibly do? Is that the best version of me that I can become? And in most cases, the answer is no. Be the best version of you. You know, somebody told me a while back ago, they said, go in, and this is like a younger, what they call it. It's kind of like an operation to do to push yourself further. And they said, go in and write up your perfect villain that you would be. Write up how strong you are, fast you are, this, all these quality traits. And basically, they'd say it. This is who I'm fighting against. This is the best version of me. Am I doing the best I can? And it was well said the way he said it. But essentially, you look down and you go, do I have more potential for this? Could I be better and stronger? Could I be faster? Could I be more mentally acute? Could I help more people? Could I be a better father? And if you can answer yes to any of those, take a step back and write down options and goals. The 25 goal list will change your life. It changed mine from Jim Rohn. Write down the top 25 things on a notepad piece of paper with a pen and pad and say, what can I do? No cap. Money's not an option. What are the 25 things I'd love to achieve, accomplish? Whether it's expand my business, be a better father, whatever it may be, go climb the Himalayas, go scuba dive in the deepest pool in Saudi Arabia in the world. Saudi Arabia is a 140-foot pool. That's been my goal, my fears. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to. I'm an active scuba diver. Write them down. Even if you don't know how to achieve them, when you write them down on paper and you look at them on your fridge every day, your brain will subconsciously try to figure out how to achieve them because they haven't been accomplished yet. And what happens is then the next phase, you start writing down options of things you can do to progress it. Well, next year, I could do this to this. Next year, I could do this to this. And then your brain will start achieving things. Because here's the problem. When you come up with an idea, you come up with a goal, you come up with a solution, you come up with something really cool. In most cases, if you don't write it down, you forget it.
Oh, yeah.
Social media and platforms that we have nowadays with all this chat GPT, all this stuff, everybody's forgetting how to do everything. So you write it down, your brain sees it, it automatically tries to fill in the blank of why it has not accomplished it yet. Very, very important way to start your goals. You can do the same thing with health. I want to drop 10 pounds this month. I want to drop 5 pounds this month. And then you set your small intermittent goals and you have your larger goals. I want to get back in shape. I want to be able to deadlift 135 or 225 or 315, whatever your goal may be. If you're healthy, I'm not telling you to do anything again. So look at that, analyze it, write it down, and be the best version of you guys. I appreciate y'all. Have a good
Amen.
Night.
And Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Because of the number of sales, I don't expect this. I'll ask, though, anyway. Is there any coupon code or not? Not this time?
I don't have a coupon code active. I know I do have the joint rebuilding formula on a big sale right now for product of the week. That's a big one to run right now. So I haven't activated any coupons. We had that big sale last time on the show, and then Labor Day. So we're kind of recovering from that. But the joint rebuilding formula, if you want to get your elbows, your joints, your shoulders, your ankles, everything back in shape, that's one of the best joint rebuilding formulas. It's on sale for 10% off right now. And then the HGH Stimulate, that's like $35. That's huge. I'm 35% off. It's a big, big discount on that right now.
Fantastic. Okay. Always. I'm going to tell you what. You don't need any coupon codes, especially with the deals that are present there, as well as the fairly priced products. Hey, Austin, thank you so very much for your gracious gifts of time tonight. Really appreciate you. Again, we're still feeling the shockwaves from your father, but that's a good thing. So
he has that effect.
I love you, brother. You hang in there, and we'll talk soon.
Have a blessed night, my friends.
All right.
Doug, talk to you guys next time.
All right. Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. That's Team Health. All right. Fantastic. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, just a fantastic flow of information. Wow. All right. So I've got some things going, or I've got some things I wanted to address with you tonight, folks. One of the first things, however, is a news piece. Now, just a good rule of thumb. When news breaks, you can take a step back and just watch. But I don't like to comment beyond, hey, this happened or appears to have happened. And then let the facts as they are presented come in and then evaluate them and then speak on them. Usually 24 to 48 hours, a good rule of thumb. Well, something happened today and it's odd for a number of reasons. I don't know whether you heard about this. There are five police officers that were shot in Pennsylvania, my home state of Pennsylvania. And three police officers, three, five. I don't know. Some told me five, some told me three, some, I don't know. But in York, Pennsylvania, York County, Pennsylvania, where this happened, the police officers were executing a warrant and I don't know the details on the warrant, but I should add this. That's not a fun thing to do. Okay. Depending on the nature of the warrant. It's probably third only to police responding to domestics or traffic stops, but something really, really bad happened there. Obviously, the alleged shooter of the police officers reportedly committed suicide there at the scene. Again, if you look at where this happened, I've got to say it's farmland, pretty much farmland on this road. There's only a couple of houses. I want to see how this plays out, because this is not as characteristic necessarily for that area, in that specific area, as this is a little off. Something here tells me to just keep an eye on this. Okay. So in case you haven't heard about that, I just wanted to let you know that did take place. All right. Now, a couple of other things, but I should say this, man, do you know where Barack Hussein Obama Barry Satoru was yesterday? That's right. In my hometown in Erie. And I have to say this, okay, he spoke about President Trump and the right, the conservative right, about how we're responsible for the violence that is taking place. I was not there. I suspect I probably wouldn't have been let in. But I want to tell you about Obama. You folks know all about Obama. But I just want to remind you about this man. His whatever wife, okay? I believe transsexual, probably. I don't know. There's just... But that takes a... That's really not even relevant. Obama, and I thought of him this morning. In fact, Eric Letek, I'll tell you the framework in which I thought of him. Eric Letek, I sent you a couple of links here. And I posted this on X today. It's actually page one in the show notes. Of course, today is U.S. Constitution Day. It's a celebration of when our Constitution was signed. So on this day in 1787, our Constitution was signed, and it was handwritten in cursive by the guy by the name of Jacob Schalas. I think he was paid at the time to copy that document or to write that document up. $30, along with the Bill of Rights. So, $30, which today's equivalent is around $1,100, give or take. But what I wrote here was the Common Core State Standards. Do you remember Common Core? Let's not forget about all of this, because this is all part of everything that we're seeing today. Again, for education, it was implemented by most states in 2010. Now, there was a lot of damage caused by Common Core, by the Common Core Initiative. One of the things, it eliminated cursive handwriting from the curricula in all schools. Now, remember, the majority of states adopted Common Core standards after its introduction in 2010. That's not the way it is today. They backed off. A number of states backed off that. The damage, however, was done. And you might think this is really not that big of a deal, but it is. So under the guise, and I should say this too, the penetration or my engagements on this I might as well be talking to myself when I post on this platform, because we're throttled. I'm telling you right now, we are throttled. I asked a couple of people, did you happen to see that post? Not because I really wanted them to read it. No, certainly not on my timeline. And I follow you. But anyway, but under the guise of education reform, Common Core, one of the architects of Common Core is David Coleman. The Common Core initiative was funded in part by guess who? That's right, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, if you look at David Coleman and the people around him, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as it relates to Common Core, their allies, the allies to indoctrinate students with Common Core, includes Bill Ayers, Barack Obama, and this is by way of the Chicago Annenberg Challenge. Now, I don't know how many people know about that, CAC. Folks, this has been, these are some of the building blocks that have been used to get us to where we are today, from education to indoctrination. So why do I even mention this? Hey, today's to celebrate or commemorate the signing of our Constitution. I think it was by 39 signers originally. But anyway, while our founding documents today, they're on full display, public, for the first time in history, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of the 27 amendments. But those, the Constitution and Bill of Rights are on full display today. For the first time in history. So think about the many students who have graduated high school with little to no ability to even read cursive. I'm not talking about writing it. I'm talking about reading it. Imagine that. Think about this. I think the number, I have it right here in my notes. I think the number, I'll tell you what the number is here. Okay, here it is right here. There are no solid numbers, by the way. I might add this. There's no metric, and no one's keeping track of the high school graduates that can actually read and write cursive. However, there is a study from the Stonebridge School this year that notes that many students are now graduating high school with little to no ability to even read cursive due to Common Core. Okay. The importance of this, however, goes beyond cursive. It addresses the indoctrination part, or the when you look at the Common Core standards, what it replaced, in addition to the nonsensical teaching stuff or nonsensical educational methods, it not just allowed, permitted, but it facilitated and promoted the indoctrination. And it opened the doors specifically for this transgender ideology, for this, throwing out the science and bringing into the mental delusions, the mental illness of multiple genders, multiple sexes, that stuff. So it was horrific. And we spoke about this before. Now, the Common Core, again, this was hatched out of Chicago, and the very people responsible in part for this were also part of the revolutionary documents that I cited yesterday, Prairie Fire from 1974, that published by the Weather Underground and by Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, and others. And so there is this overlap. and I won't get too far. I'm not going to get any further into it, but pay attention because it is important to understand who is behind this mass indoctrination of the young people, at least initially. And you can take it back further than that and bring it back and bring it up more recent. But there it is in terms of, well, today being Constitution Day. And yeah, but maybe your child, your grandchild can't read because they can't read cursive. Okay. Now, a couple of other things. Before I move off of the assassin of last week of Charlie Kirk, God bless him, I want to show you this. Folks, you know, I really have a very deep interest in the forensics of behavioral analysis, a lot of the forensic disciplines, right? And there are only a few people I would recognize as true experts behind behavioral analysis. There's a gentleman by the name of Scott Rouse. He's part of the behavioral panel. He's a friend of Chase Hughes and others on the behavioral panel. And he's his resume is just would just absolutely blow you away. Now, there's a link in that, there's a link at HagmanPI.com to this video. When the trainee boy, who just happened, I should throw in to the mix, had the time and inclination to write these love sonnets to be conveniently found to his trainee boyfriend. Wow. You believe that, folks? Did you believe that? Is it possible? Sure. I don't know. You're trying to get away and I don't know. There's a whole lot wrong with that. But did you know that he was videotaped, obviously, when he was caught and the judge was reading the capital felony, the list of charges against him? There's a videotape of him. So Scott Ross commented on this from a behavioral analyst expert, that point of view, on the reaction of the accused shooter. I'm going to ask this. For those on the Rumble chat, have you seen this? Not necessarily the analysis of his body, of his activities, but have you seen the video? Please let me know if you just yes or no in the video chat. Have you seen the video of the shooter, Tyler, having the charges read to him? Okay, no, yes, no. Okay, thank you for answering that. Now, remember, these are capital murder charges. These will carry the death penalty. Okay, it appears that the majority said no. I want you to take a look at this and listen to what Scott Rouse has to say. And again, all credit goes to Scott Rouse's channel. I really appreciate allowing us to use this, but listen to, first of all, watch and listen to this analysis. And then this, I believe, is telling in a number of different ways. And then think also, well, I'm not going to tell you what to think. Just watch this. This is, I think, video one in the show notes. Here it is.
Every body language expert on YouTube has been waiting for this video to come out. And when it does, what do we see? It doesn't look like much going on at all. Not even a little bit. However, there's a lot going on here. And when there are things missing like this, and that's one of the first things I look for when I'm looking at someone's body language. What should they be doing that they're not? What is missing from their behavior? I'm seeing a lot of that. So if it were me or if it were you in this situation, we'd look completely different. So let's take a look at this guy's body language and talk about what's missing and why.
Kirk, victim targeting enhancement in violation of Utah Code annotated.
All right, first thing we're going to look for are the facial expressions. And what facial expression is that? That's actually a blank expression. There's nothing happening there at all, not even a little bit. So what's missing that should be here? Well, most of the time when someone's in this situation, we see all kinds of expressions on their face. Sometimes they'll zero in on one or two, and sometimes they'll be three or four or five. But in this situation, we see one, and that's the blank expression. Now, if it was you, or if it was me in this situation, we'd at least be seeing concern. And that's when your glabella, that little group of muscles right there, come together, and your eyebrows come together right there, because we'd be concerned about what's going on. We'd be worried about what's going to happen. Keep in mind, the judge is reading off his charges just down a list, one after the other. And as he does this, nothing changes. One of the things that we would usually see in a situation like this are these heavy gasps or these heavy deep breaths, you know, that kind of thing. We don't see that. We see a couple of breaths where they get a little bit deep, but that looks like it's from boredom. We don't see any anger. Quite often in this situation, we'll see that person is really mad about being there. He's mad about, or she is mad about what they've done. And they're mad they got caught. And they're mad that they got in trouble. We don't see that here. And where will we see it? Of course, we'd see it mostly in the eyes and the eyebrows. When somebody's mad, you know, they do that and their eyes squint up. Here's the thing about real anger that most people miss is if I told you, make an angry face, you'd probably squint your eyes and do that. However, when somebody's doing that, it's not real. You know how we know? Because when you're really mad, your brain is trying to keep your eyes open as wide as they can go, but you're squinting your eyes. So not only are your eyes squinted, you try to keep them wide, so it gives you that psychopath look, you know, like that. That's when you know somebody's really mad. I've seen that a lot. But keep that in mind the next time somebody you think somebody might be acting like they're angry. Look for that. Look for the big squint.
Remove the firearm used to shoot Charlie Kirk, and the conduct that constitutes an offense would be a...
Another thing missing from this is grief or sadness. We don't see his mouth coming down. You see his mouth coming down here on the sides a little bit. But again, that could be from boredom because that's a blank expression. We don't see anything happening in the chin boss. Again, this video isn't very good. It's kind of blurry. But we could at least see some movement in there or see a little bit, tiny little wrinkle in there. But we're not seeing that. Another thing that's missing is the blink rate being high. Now, when someone's in a situation like this, what'll happen at first, they'll be blinking a whole lot. You'll see a lot of fluttering and they'll be hearing information they don't want to hear. So they'll eye block and they'll flutter. We don't see that here. The regular blink rate, normal blink rate, is usually around 15 to 20 times a minute. And it's really tough to see what's going on with this guy's blink rate. So we really can't lean on that and be concerned with it. But if you look really closely, there's not a whole lot of blinking going on there. Usually when you're in the situation, your eyes are wide open after a couple minutes go by when the charges start being listed, because you want to hear your brain say, man, we need to get everything we can, all the information we can possibly get, we need to get from this. So your eyes are open and you're listening and you're not moving much at all. He's doing all that, but his eyes aren't very wide at all. He's just sitting there looking. Now you'd think, what's wrong with that? That means there's emotions that should be firing off that aren't. Be it anger or frustration, whatever it is, but we're not seeing anything. We're not even seeing sadness if he were depressed. Now keep in mind, he told his parents that he would rather not be here anymore than to go to jail. And apparently the people in prison think that as well, because, or in the jail, because they've got what's called a suicide robe on him. That's one of the reasons we're not seeing his hands and seeing him move around a lot from that perspective, because he can't move those. Another thing that's missing is he's not trying to get comfortable in his seat. If it was you, if it was me in this situation, we'd be scooching around our seat, trying to get comfortable and moving around a lot. We're not seeing any of that at all. In fact, he's got that one shoulder pushed forward. He's sitting there almost at an angle, just a little bit. That's why that one shoulder is forward a little bit, because I'm sure his feet are pointing toward the door. He just sat down, didn't move much. That means he doesn't care. That suggests that he doesn't care that much about what's happening, which would also suggest he doesn't care what happens to him. There are a couple of times where we do see some adapters. We see some adapting, and it's with his jaw, because he clenches his jaw and he pushes it, I think, to the left a little bit. You have to look really close, but that's what's happening. And that could be from, and it could be from a lot of different things, but I'm under the impression it's an adapter. He's trying to self-soothe because he's got some stress in there. He must have some. So I'm assuming that's what that is. But if it were you, if it were me, we'd be scooching all over that chair. We'd be moving our shoulders, because you know in that situation your shoulders would be tight.
You can tie that down. Folks, this is about, I don't know, eight minutes or so. Please, if this interests you, if behavioral modification or behavioral analysis, body language, you know, reading body, if that interests you, definitely the link will be in the program description box for Scott Ross, the behavioral panel, and Chase Hughes. Okay, extremely accomplished individuals, along with there's two others, Mark and forgive me, I forget the other gentleman on the behavior panel, but they're extremely accomplished. And between the four of those individuals, I believe that they represent the most comprehensive and accurate behavioral forensic analysts out there. I really do. Now, there's a lot of crap out there, too. I've seen a lot of crap. And wow. But these guys, these Scott and Chase Hughes, they're the real deal. I guarantee it. And some of the, there are courses that have been taught and overlapping courses. Many of, if any law enforcement are, you know, watching this, if you're familiar with the Reed technique of interview interrogation, you know, I've taken that, I'm certified in that. But this is different. This is completely different than that. And very, very useful too for your self-preservation when you're talking one-on-one, maybe with someone within your family. How you would detect deception and so on. So there's value to that. So definitely follow those four guys in addition to the behavioral panel. Again, I'll put the link in the program description box. Okay, having said that, back to the alleged shooter in that case. What do you see? Nothing, right? Nothing. And of course, he is wearing that. It's a pretty restrictive, if you've ever seen one, the suicide robe, as they call them. You're not going to go anywhere. Certainly, you're not going to use your hands like I'm using mine. It's very restrictive. But still, you don't control the facial muscles willingly, okay? In other words, there are certain things that do take place that show in your face, and he mentioned blink rate as being one of them. It's an automatic thing that you, unless you're accomplished at the counter interrogation techniques, and I mean very accomplished, it's very hard to control. Blink rate, breathing, things, and some you just can't. But in this case, there's nothing there. And I find that very interesting. Now, it's up to you. I'm going to leave this up to you as to what you think about that. Is that, to me, this is not normal in any way, shape, or form. And obviously, he is not, I should add this, he's not giving information to, he's not cooperating with anyone. All right. Just so you know, the latest word as of prior to showtime this afternoon, he's not cooperating with anyone, not talking, and under 24/7 guard, suicide watch. See how well that worked out with Epstein, right? I don't know. I don't think that this case, that he will be, I don't think he'll see any, and I could be wrong, but I don't think he will see any kind of adjudication. I don't think he'll make it that far. I just don't. Now, that's not my desire. That's an observation. I'm going to leave it right there. All right. There's something else going on. I suggested this when Austin was on. I want to get a little bit further into this. I want to show you something that I've been watching this now since right after. I'll just say this, late Wednesday night last week, I've been watching this. I've been investigating and digging deep into this organization. This is page 2 in the show notes. I just want to show you this. There is an organization. Let me bring it up here so I can follow along. And I got to say this too. I do my best in covering what I believe is important. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of like a shotgun approach, but I really want, instead of that shotgun approach, I want a tighter grouping. Okay. I want to be more precise. There is something going on here with this. Again, page 2 in the show notes. Eric, take if you can put this up. This, I heard about this verbally, and then I was searching and I happened upon the account titled Data Republican (parentheses small r) okay on X, or at Data Republican on X. Major breaking. When was this posted? This was posted 2 days ago. Okay. Major breaking. State Department and UN ties to armed queers, SLC leader now confirmed. Okay. And then this account credits others for uncovering some of this information. Armed Queers, SLC, is a group, the name pretty much says it all, right? It's under investigation for possible foreknowledge of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Their leader, I don't even know how to pronounce that name, I'm not going to try, was recognized by a State Department-affiliated NGO, Utah Global Diplomacy, as a recipient of the 7417 Award for advancing the UN's 17 goals. Now, there's a point to all of this. Utah Global Diplomacy scrubbed everything from their website. However, this poster and those who he credits or they credit have the receipts, have the archive or what was scrubbed from the website. Now, the reason I bring this up, this organization is extremely dangerous. And I don't know. I mean, Armed Queers, SLC, does represent most assuredly the what the name implies. Okay. But it goes beyond that. And it's not limited to your sexual biases or their sexual biases. The events that they're planning should be taken extremely seriously. This group has infested, especially in the Utah, in the Midwest and West, so many college campuses. You can compare this to the revolutionary arm of the Weather Underground. Well, they were all revolutionaries, but the armed actors of the Weather Underground back in the early, 60s, 70s. Okay. Now, they actually had meetings in Cuba. I don't, do I have that? Hang on just one second here. That leader, that person, as well as a number of people, by the way, I should say they're very well funded. And because they represent themselves as, I believe, a 501c4 organization. I apologize. I should have had my notes better formatted here. No, it's a 501c3. My apologies. They're extremely well funded. We're talking just south of $1 million worth of revenue, but they're government funded. Think about this. They're government funded. In fact, I do have one of the receipts, Eric the Tech, and I apologize for this. Let's see. Down from that, let's see. If you click on that post, down from that, underneath what looks like a wheel, is a post by Data Republican that reads, Utah Global Diplomacy reports receiving most of his income in government grants. And on the left side, there's two pictures or two images. The left-hand image tells a pretty interesting tale. If you can find it, access it, and put it up. The revenues, I should add this, which blew me away. How long was this? When did they? Oh, Utah Global Diplomacy. My apologies. Where I'm referencing now was formed in 1967, and their revenues about $727,000. In fact, you don't have to put that up, but it's through government grants and donations. But this is telling because. This is how can I put this? This is a funding vehicle. The Utah Global Diplomacy is funding in part, along with other various NGOs, big money into the Armed Queers Group. So follow the money on this. The Utah Global Diplomacy, the 501c3 of that, the arm of that, the funding arm of that. Their mission, of course, is to help shape U.S. foreign relations. Now, there was a question asked about foreign involvement in what happened last week. And there is a foreign component to this, and it's imported by this particular group as well as other groups like this. When you get into complex crime scenes and homicides and stuff, and there's a multifaceted motive to it, and it's well-funded, we'll say, where did the money come from? Oftentimes, that money is hard to trace because the shell corporations and shell companies and the number of other ways. But in this case, it's pretty clear that I believe that one can make the argument very quickly that this Armed Queers has been funded for the purpose of carrying out violent acts specifically against conservative Christians. Let me flip that. Against Christian conservatives and politically conservative figures, and they're just now getting started. I mean, they've always been planning, plotting, and scheming, but now they're just really actively mobilizing. And let me show you one other thing about this. And folks, if you do nothing else, just know the name Armed Queers SLC. Because that group, you're going to be hearing more about it. And you might think, oh, it's a very small faction. No, it has flown under the radar but it will become more prominent in the model of the Weather Underground, the SDS, in that particular model, as documented by Prairie Fire and other documents of that time period. But this is illustrative right now, what I want to show you right now is illustrative, or is an example of what we are up against that you might not have seen. I'll just go to the video. This is cut two in the show notes. Listen to what this man is saying. And listen to, well, just listen to it and watch him. But the one thing I want you to do is don't underestimate this. Do not underestimate what he's saying. Take this seriously, because the collateral evidence that we were able to compile about this group needs to be on the desk of every law enforcement office, every FBI office, they need to know about this, and you need to know about this too. So this, let's go ahead and cut to, again, this is about the Armed Queers, SLC, Armed Queers, Utah. Here it is.
Hi, my name is Charlie, and like many of you, I've been glued to current events and have been disgusted by what I've seen. We're actively funding a genocide in Palestine. We have a child predator who pretends to be a king in the White House. And our government has been completely taken over by corporations, capitalist greed, and foreign influences. Our immigrant neighbors and fellow citizens alike are being kidnapped by secret police and robbed of due process. Concentration camps are being opened in the fucking Everglades. USAID being shut down, which will cut off life-saving support for up to 14 million people. Cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, and SNAP benefits for us domestically. Archaic policies that remove women's autonomy over their own bodies. Trade wars with all of our allies and preferential treatment to our enemies. Mass taxation without representation. Tax on the very rights and lives of our trans and LGBTQ community, and illegally attacking Iran with a threat of war on the horizon. And the list goes on. Every day, it's something new and horrible. And I've been seeing everything going on and have had to ask myself, if you were alive during the rise of fascism in Europe and during the Holocaust, what would you have done? And that answer for myself has fueled all of my actions. I've been volunteering anywhere and everywhere that I can, going to every single protest that I can make. And that brings us to why I'm speaking to you right now. Here in Utah, we had a huge turnout for the No Kings protest, which was overshadowed by tragedy. An armed volunteer mistook an armed protester for an aggressor, which resulted in the horrific death of a beloved member of our community, Afa Alu. That shit cannot happen again. While many of us are reeling and recovering since that day, this fascist regime has not slowed down its attacks on the American people or the world. And we have to regroup, keep perspective, and focus on the challenges that we still face together. We cannot stop now. So in the absence of SLC 5051, we the people are stepping up to carry the torch and help keep the momentum going. We the people, all of us, must keep up the fight. For this next National Day of Protest, this Saturday, August 2nd, Rage Against the Regime, myself and other volunteers will be available to provide medical and de-escalation assistance, and we will have a professionally trained medical team and people with experience in de-escalation. Unfortunately, there isn't a trained and professional force that we can hire to do it for us. The police are not on our side. It's just people like you and me stepping up to the task. and we will strive to keep everyone free from conflict with counter-protesters and law enforcement. We will be unarmed and ask that all participants do the same, because again, we cannot have another tragedy and must collectively commit to keep each other safe. With that said, it's important for everyone to keep in mind that we're actively protesting against a fascist regime and a system that is designed to keep us at war with each other so that billionaires can continue to steal our money, resources, and quality of life. It's a class war, and we're losing. So please stand with us in resistance and join us this weekend for Rage Against the Regime. Free Palestine.
All right. That's the sum total of that video. And you may think that, hey, wait a second, he didn't call for armed revolution. Correct. I mean, he did not call for armed revolution. However, here's the backstory that you need to know, because there's always a backstory. The armed queers this year, that very organization that he is a part of promoting and asking for, you know, your involvement. And he's speaking to other members within universities and colleges all across the U.S. Well, really worldwide, but specifically here in the U.S. And there are different chapters. There's a Utah chapter. There's numerous chapters. To give you an example of how well-funded and what their objective is. There exists, in fact, I'll put the link in the description as part of the show notes. There is a reconstructed full-length, it's like a half-hour long video in five parts by this at Data Republican. Remember, this was all wiped off the internet, but it exists here. Let me get it while you can. It also, I should add this, the leader, the female leader of this group, her nickname is Ramira, was photographed on stage during the last presidential race with Elizabeth Warren. Okay. Now, think about that, and think about the influence, or think about how that could possibly happen, where you have a sworn revolutionary, communist revolutionary, with Elizabeth Warren. It doesn't really take that much; it's not really a stretch. But when you look at the group itself, they traveled to Cuba this year. Their group's membership in the National Network on Cuba. And this is important because a lot of paramilitary training takes place in Cuba. They're part of a group tied to ICAP, which is a Cuban government front to push communism, the actual communism, into our college, well, into our learning centers primarily, and then elsewhere. But keep this in mind. They visited Cuban schools, universities, converted from military bases. Now, those visits also included training, not how to protest, but how to be lethal in protests and how to be destructive in protests. So when you're looking for perhaps some logistics to support BLM and Antifa, it is this group and other groups that play a very important role in that. You wonder, for example, where these bricks come from. Well, shell companies here, you know, did you follow the receipts? Okay. This is... this group plays a more prominent role than people might think. And I arrived at that conclusion simply just by digging deep into the various forums, into the forums where a lot of the people that are that make up this chapter and other chapters that identify with armed queers. Well, it hurts me to even say that, but identify with armed queers or the admitted part of that group are actually recruiting and arming others and providing arms and trainings and tactics and such. But where are they getting the training from? From the actual communist revolutionaries in Cuba, which was the purpose of their visits, allegedly. Take that however you want to. They're pushing, of course, now on the nonviolent side, it's all violent, but they're demanding either by protest or at gunpoint, they're demanding that all education, food, housing, medical care, they must be free for all students. Don't pay your student loans. You see all these, you've seen the videos, right? With the recent influx of videos where you have college students say, we're not going to pay. I'm not going to pay. I'm stopping paying from, I'm not going to pay anymore my student loans. Or I'm just going to stop paying. The motive, the tactics originate in part from this group. And of course, there's a lot of praise for the communist system, Cuba's communist system. And this is extremely important. Cuba's family code, which they call the most progressive in the world. And it's not what you think, because it's more in line with the armed queers than the nuclear family. And of course, they planned in 2025 a May Day march of 600,000 plus Cubans all across the U.S., waving pride flags, portraits of Lenin, Che, and MLK. You may think, well, I've seen those flags peppered here and there in various protests. This is not just BLM. It's not just Antifa. It's not. This is, again, there are numerous groups that are indoctrinated and indoctrinating the universities and infiltrating the universities. And a lot of these chapters have help from the faculty, the teachers. So when you see, for example, somebody waving a flag in the crowd of Lenin, of Che, of MLK, you have to look and be able to determine, decipher who's who, because we cannot just simply say everyone's Antifa. We have to be precise in identifying the enemy. This is one of I'll just say this. The armed queers, after their Cuban visit, after their meetings and recent trainings, they have a discipline, and I say this, a discipline for armed revolution and a very misguided belief that victory is theirs. Now, you may dismiss this and say, it's a bunch of hooey, it doesn't matter. Well, in closing, let me just say this. The surveillance of various message boards and forums, I'm not going to name them because a lot of them are on the backside of other forums. They're subgroups that are password protected. We have, of course, to a limited extent because of manpower restrictions and funding restrictions, we have infiltrated some of these fraudulently, of course, using fake names and such to listen, to watch the various postings and to see what their plans are. And there is a large presence of this group, armed queers, or otherwise I wouldn't be talking about it. And I do believe there is a level of culpability, if you want to look at co-conspirators, perhaps, or conspirators with what happened last week. This group is, especially the Utah chapter, served, I believe, in some capacity based on some of the not just braggadocious writings, but postings that maybe need to be looked at a little bit closer in providing material support for some sort of event. And that's why I say there's something being planned right now in the back rooms of these forums that, again, I don't know. Target, I don't know. Location, I don't know. But we're working on it. I'm just saying be vigilant and don't be surprised if something happens in the next 2 weeks to a month, before or after. I don't know. But there are things being planned very much like what happened last week right now. And we are documenting everything we possibly can without, of course, with, you know, without compromising.